That's okay.
I'm voting for one. I promise, Chris.
We are.
Full house. Welcome, everybody, to the April 18th, 2011 meeting of the Senate Committee on Business, Transportation, and Economic Development. For those who are not familiar with our process, we are in the last weeks of being able to work on Senate bills, and as is normal in this part of the process, we've had a number of bills that have been worked on and have amendments pending, but we do not have all the fiscals and revenue impact statements on a lot of them, so we can't work them today. So let me tell you the bills that we are not going to be able to get to today, and we will carry them over till tomorrow. Senate Bill 766, Senate Bill 792, Senate Bill 795, Senate Bill 438, Senate Bill 863, Senate Bill 219, Senate Bill 788, Senate Bill 789, Senate Bill 790, and House Bill 2159 will not be worked today. We do have it on
paper. Bye. Nice knowing you.
Good afternoon.
So we'll wait a minute.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah.
It is our intent to get to these bills. We just don't have the paperwork yet.
789 and stuff.
Alrighty, committee.
And 788 is going to go.
We're going to open a work session on Senate Bill 56. Richard.
Senate Bill 56 authorizes the Oregon Business Development Department to charge fees and administrative costs for program benefits incurred by the department in the administration of any program fund account under the department's direct control.
Is this 56?
And what does the dash 1 do?
The dash 1 authorizes the Business Development Department to charge and assess fees for program benefits and administrative costs incurred to certify sites that are ready for industrial or traded sector development. It basically limited the authority just to that program.
Okay, I believe that was consistent with what Senator Starr asked for last time. We have the Lynn's, the deputy director is here. Do you, anybody have questions of the bill?
So this was the bill that provided them carte blanche authority, and they've narrowed that authority down to
what was intended, just to the projects for certified industrial development sites. I think the issue here is they don't have this is a valuable tool for businesses who wish to market these sites, and without the money, the department can't do it or won't be able to do it. Is that?
Well, it looks like the amendment that I asked for, it'd be hard for me not to support the amendment that I suggested.
Any other questions? Okay, then the chair will move the dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 56. Is there a discussion?
Right.
Discussion on the motion?
Yeah, we were just discussing the motion.
Would you like to do that publicly? Is there any objections to the motion? Senator Girard objects to the motion. Any others? The dash ones to Senate Bill 56 are adopted with Senator Girard in opposition. The chair moves Senate Bill 56 as amended by the dash ones to the floor with the do pass.
Yep.
Discussion on a motion. Is there any opposition to the motion?
Oh.
Do you want to discuss or do you want to oppose?
No, I didn't realize I voted against the amendment. I got corrected here. So I just want to vote no against the bill, but...
Well, you got a double for that.
I got a double. Okay.
Is there anybody else who wishes to object? Seeing none, Senate Bill 56, as amended by the dash ones, is passed to the floor with Senator Girard in opposition. We'll open a hearing, or a work session, on Senate Bill 264. I get that right. Senate Bill 264.
264.
Senate Bill 264.
Call me Senator Yee.
Senate Bill 264 exempts county roads from the standard set for state highways to get a new approach permit for a change of use of a private approach road. There's also a dash 1 amendment, which dramatically changes the bill, and a dash 2 amendment, which adds to the changes of the dash 1 amendment. A fiscal impact was issued, but it was indeterminate, and there's no revenue impact.
Colleagues, if you'll recall, this is the bill that we had a lot of testimony on last week, primarily by Senator Johnson. It was a group effort, a work group over the summer. It's affectionately known as the Access Management Bill.
Mr. Chair,
I think we have the work group universal agreement. Senator Starr.
So, do we need to? Do you want to move the dash ones or twos or both?
I believe it's the dash twos, but
dash twos incorporate the changes
dash
that are
ones. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd offer a motion if you'd desire to move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 264.
Senator Starr has moved the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 264. Discussion? Any questions that anybody has? We got a whole group here who could answer them. Is there any opposition? Doesn't appear to be any. The dash twos to Senate Bill 264 have been adopted. Senator Starr?
Mr. Chair, I move the bill as amended by the dash two amendments to the Senate floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 264 as amended by the dash twos to the floor with the due pass. Discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Atkinson?
This is the bill in which we were discussing potential problems or the perception of problems in Woodburn with the bank and access issues. And I have had a conversation with Director Garrett about that, and I'm still very interested in that. But at this point, I'll support the bill in committee and reserve the right to keep questioning between now and the time it's on the floor.
Okay. Any other discussion? Seeing none, is there any opposition to the bill? Seeing none. Senate Bill 264, as amended by the dash twos, is passed to the floor with the due pass. Senator Starr, would you like to carry this?
Certainly.
And Carolyn, I will carry 56.
I think Senator Johnson,
Senator Johnson may want to carry. May want to carry 264. Should be.
Let me amend that. Senator Johnson,
only appropriate,
check with her, and if not, Senator Starr will carry.
Can you hand it to Mr. Chair?
Yes. Senator.
It's just a list of things for later.
Okay. Okay. Moving on.
There goes the suits.
We'll try this one out. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 846. Richard.
Senate Bill 846 directs the Department of Transportation to adopt standards for bicycle trailers designed for human passengers and consult with ASTM international specifications. There is a dash 4 and a dash 5 amendment. I believe the dash 5 was brought up and suggested at our last public hearing. It replaces the original measure and requires manufacturers to affix a statement on all bicycle trailers designed for human passengers that informs the purchaser of conformity or nonconformity to the ASTM standards and allows purchaser of a bike trailer to bring civil action against a manufacturer if it does not conform to the standard within 2 years from the date of purchase. It requires a court award of the prevailing party reasonable cost of attorney's fees. There is, minimal fiscal and no revenue impact.
Okay, so these are the dash fives, so to get the discussion going, the chair would move the dash five amendments to Senate Bill 846. In discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Atkinson.
I think a couple of fellas and I would like to have a chat. Could we have a couple minute recess?
Sure.
Thanks.
We'll stand in recess for five. Recess. Discussion?
Recess.
We have a dash five in front of us. Well, Carolyn, would you call the roll?
Is this for the amendment?
Did we move the dash fives?
We have moved the dash fives, and we are voting on the dash fives, unless somebody wants to discuss.
We're voting. Well, you just said we've moved and we're voting on.
The dash five has been moved.
The chair has moved the dash five amendments. We were under discussion.
Okay, I see.
And the question was, is there any discussion before we do a vote on the dash five amendments?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Starr.
Do we have any idea how many manufacturers in the state of Oregon this will impact? Bicycle trailer manufacturers?
We don't. I know of one that happens to be in Senator Edwards' district, and they recommended this amendment. Actually, probably Senator Atkinson is the most informed person on the committee about that. Is there others who build bike trailers in Oregon?
What trailers?
Burley.
For design bike trailers. Only Burley.
Only Burley. I think the Senator Starr, the question that came up, and as I understand the reason for the bill, is there's starting to be imported a number of foreign-made trailers that do not meet general safety standards. I think that was the impetus for the bill. And apparently there is an industry standard which is referenced in this bill that deal with that. They, allegedly some of those trailers were collapsing and children were getting hurt. I don't know.
Yep.
But that was what I understand. That was the testimony that we've heard.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Burdick.
I have a little heartburn over this. A court shall award a prevailing party reasonable costs and attorney's fees. I'm just wondering if this is something that ought to have a subsequent to the Judiciary Committee if we pass it through here.
That's Floyd's committee.
Well, that's a possibility.
She's got a straight face, too. That's awesome.
The times when I've seen prevailing fees, it's usually a discretionary with the court, and this is pretty straightforward, shall we say.
Well, we have a motion in front of us. Would people... It seems like we're ready to call the roll, Carolyn.
Is this for the amendment?
The vote is on the dash five amendments to the bill.
Senator Burdick?
No.
Senator Edwards?
Aye.
Senator Drodd?
No.
Senator Starr?
No.
Vice Chair Atkinson?
That would make me the kingpin.
Oh, we already know. Film is rolling.
It's already dead.
Yes. Yes.
It's 50-50, so the motion to adopt the amendment fails, and I'm thinking that probably is about as much work as we're going to do on that bill today, so we will close the work session on Senate Bill 846. And let's go on to tax credits.
Oh, let's run down there.
Since we agree on all those.
Let's do the easy ones first. We have the two insurance bills, which really are hardly tax credits, but we'll go to them. So the first one is Senate Bill 685, and we'll open the work session on that. Richard.
Senate Bill 865 extends the tax credit for insurers providing workers' compensation insurance to January 1st, 2018. We've had a public hearing on March 22nd and another discussion on March 24th. There is a subsequent referral to the Tax Credit Committee.
The chair would move Senate Bill 685 to the Tax Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the motion. Quiet group today. Is there any opposition?
Don't look at me.
We always look to you, Gerard, to make sure. Seeing no opposition, Senate Bill 685 is moved to the Senate or to the Joint Tax Credit Committee with a due pass recommendation. We'll close on 685 and we'll open on Senate Bill 686. Richard.
Senate Bill 686 extends the sunset for the tax credit for insurers transacting fire insurance to January 2018. There's a subsequent referral to the Tax Credit Committee.
Once again, the chair would move Senate Bill 686 to the Joint Tax Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Burdick.
This is the most complicated tax credit I've ever seen in my entire life, and certainly at the legislature, but I felt that the insurance community, especially the Oregon-based insurance community, really did make their case that we would not save as much money as they would lose if we were to get rid of this, so I will be a yes on this.
Thank you, Senator. I think you could have made the same statement about the last one.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Atkinson.
I will make that statement about the last one. I'm highly skeptical of the last one and this one. I don't... I'm skeptical of these bills, and I'm still going to study them as they move on down to this other committee, but I don't know if they're good public policy.
Does anybody else want to go on the record on these?
I think they made their case.
Okay. Anybody else? If not, we have a motion on the floor. Is there opposition to passage of Senate Bill 686 to the Tax Committee? Going once? Twice? Okay. Senate Bill 686 is passed in the Joint Committee on Tax Credits with unanimous support of the committee. And we'll close on 686, and let's do biomass. So we'll open on Senate Bill 903. Richard.
Senate Bill 903 precludes the Department of Energy from promulgating any rules relating to biomass tax credits if the overall thermal conversion efficiency rating exceeds 20% for a facility that converts biomass to heat or electric energy that was placed in service before January 1st, 2008. There is a subsequent referral to the Tax Credit Committee. There is a revenue impact and a fiscal impact.
Richard, could you refresh us on what the, Mr. Chair.
Senator
Richard. Could you refresh us on the revenue impact of this?
They didn't actually put a number, they just issued a statement. They say a fiscal impact statement for the purpose of transmitting this measure to the Tax Credit Committee. A more complete financial analysis on this bill will be prepared as the measure is considered by the Tax Credit Committee. So they passed a buck.
So what are we doing here, then?
So I would think that we have at least three options. We can choose to move it down with no recommendation, where they can look at it closer from revenue. We can choose to move it with a recommendation of support, or we could choose to not move it down.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Edwards.
I would hope that we move it down with recommendation of support. You'll recall this is the bill that I sat right there and testified on. This is the bill that...
So this is your opportunity, Senator, to make a motion.
I move Senate Bill 903 to whatever committee we're sending this to.
That would be the Joint Tax Credit Committee.
To the Joint Tax Credit Committee, thank you, with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, to put it on the record, Senator Edwards had moved Senate Bill 903 to the Joint Tax Credit Committee with a due pass recommendation. Discussion. Add anything?
This is, well, for those of you that don't remember, this is the bill that applies to energy producers that produce energy from biomass. Specifically, a producer that's particularly affected is located in White City in southern Oregon. And because there are no adjacent forest products manufacturing facilities for them to sell their steam to, practically by definition, they cannot meet the energy efficiency standards, conversion standards that have been required by the department in rule to be able to benefit from the biomass collection tax credit. So that was a rulemaking process that was promulgated by the department. I think for a number of reasons that go beyond energy policy, but also for rural economic development policy and for forest health reasons, we need to maintain this policy in place. And this Senate Bill 903 doesn't speak to future iterations of the biomass collection tax credit, but it does speak to the existing rule and for the tax year 2010.
Others?
Mr. Chair,
Senator Burney?
If I could just ask Senator Edwards, I'm not, it's not ringing a bell. It's just pretty narrowly drawn, so this is not going to be some overall...
To my knowledge, there is one producer in the state of Oregon, biomass facility, that this would end up applying to.
Okay.
It's pretty narrow.
Yeah, it's pretty narrow.
Pretty narrow. Anybody else? No discussion. Committee, we have a motion in front of us to move Senate Bill 903 with a due pass recommendation to the Joint Tax Committee. Is there any opposition?
Mr. Chair, I will not oppose this, but I'm going to keep an open mind for it, because we haven't seen a revenue.
All right, so that will be recorded as supporting it.
And it will also be on the record.
I get it.
Open mind.
Anything else? Okay. Seeing none, Senate Bill 903 is moved to the Joint Tax Credit Committee with a due pass recommendation by unanimous vote with reservations. Noted. We'll close on Senate Bill 903. Okay, we'll go back up now. Let's see here. Let's try rural. We'll open on Senate Bill 316. Richard.
Senate Bill 316 extends tax credit for rural enterprise zone to a date unspecified in the bill. There's a blank.
Let's stick a number in there.
Well, we can make a suggestion. I don't want to do an amendment.
Well, Judy's not listening. Let's do a conceptual.
Yeah, I don't think Judy would be listening, but... We can pick that up in a recommendation to them. Do you have a number in mind?
No, I just don't want to send blank bills down to that committee. What the usual extension is 8 years, isn't it?
I believe it's 6 years. I can look.
Six.
I don't know if we can get away with putting a number in there or not.
No.
I don't think you can. Not without
six
an amendment.
Years, is it the sense of the committee is 6 years?
Yes, Mr. Chair, that's kind of the default for tax credits that are being expanded.
Generally, as I understand it, Senator Burdick and your committee, that sort of the rotation you're trying to get them in is 6-year cycle, so if one's renewed, it would be for 6 years.
No, actually, it would have to be specified in the bill.
But you would do that down there?
Maybe.
Well,
you are being difficult.
I suppose, oh God, if we set this over to get an amendment to put a number in, we would have to go back through the process of getting a fiscal and...
I say move it.
Huh?
I say move it. Because she can do what she wants to anyway.
What's the pleasure of the committee?
You find it a way.
I mean, it's not going to change the fiscal. We already know what the impacts are all the way through 2017. So, I'm a little frustrated that we can't do common sense things, common sense actions in this committee, like putting a number in a bill.
We don't write the rules. Well, actually, we do collectively, but...
I don't.
You voted for him.
Well, I didn't have a choice. I guess I could have voted no.
As I recall, we were just... the president was just admonished. Messing with one.
So I would support setting the bill over till tomorrow to get an amendment that fills in 2018 and all the blanks.
There are actually blanks where they actually, in this bill I noticed there are 2012 and 2013 based on when it's established and when it's actually, I believe it's an application.
Every place is 2013, put 2019, and every place is 2012, put 2018.
Okay.
I mean, I don't, at the end of the day, it's not going to be up to this committee what happens anyway.
Yeah, but we have to get the bill down to that committee.
Right.
Unless it's already been passed out of the House.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator.
Is it your understanding that the House has identical bills, identical tax credit bills, and that they're working through their policy committees as well, that are ultimately ending up in the Joint Tax Credit Committee?
That is my understanding.
In many cases, not all cases, but probably most cases, that's the case.
Mr. Chair. Senator Atkinson.
I just learned about that today, and I think that is an enormous waste of our time. They have two of the same bills over there. So if this committee doesn't move something forward, effectively, the tax credit is still alive on the other side, which is a complete enormous waste of this committee's time.
But Mr. Chair, I disagree, because the whole purpose of bringing them to the policy committee is to figure out, from the policy committee standpoint, whether they're good policy, and a House committee and a Senate committee could differ on that issue.
Yeah, but if the House says, yes, we think it's a good policy, and they kick it down to the big, I don't know if constitutional tax credit committee, and this committee does not, that bill is still alive.
It's still alive, but we don't have the benefit of the policy discussion in this committee.
But the bill is still alive. I mean, that's what is a complete waste of our time. I mean, if the bill doesn't die here, and there's something that's always going to be still alive, you've just wasted the Senate's time.
No, because if this committee has several choices. It can amend, it can not send it over, it could change the terms of it, and that's all useful information to the tax committee.
I respectfully disagree.
Senator, it is what it is.
I know, but we've seen really good stuff die at the expense of really dumb stuff that this committee's had absolutely zero authority over. But that's just my opinion.
But anyway, what I'm hearing is...
I would support Senator Starr, Mr. Chair.
Hold it over for another day and get the amendment.
Stick an amendment in there.
Well, let's be real clear. The intent would be to amend it to a six-year cycle.
If that's what the standard is.
I want the tax credit, so...
Let's see, we have a motion on the floor, so...
What's the motion specifically?
Your motion was to move the bill to the tax credit committee. You want to?
That wasn't my motion.
No, I don't think we have that motion.
No, I don't think we have
that. We don't have that. Oh, I thought you
made
that
motion. Bill. That was 903.
Oh, okay. I'm this is easy to get confused. Okay, so we will just... which one are we on, even?
We are on...
316, right?
316.
All right, so we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 316. Richard, would you ask for an amendment, please? And we will carry that one over. Oh, let's go to Senate Bill 315 and see if we have more luck with that one. Richard.
This extends tax credits for certain research activities to a date undefined in the bill.
let's just okay.
Do them all the same.
Mr. Chair, I support this tax credit as I support the last one.
And so you want to put a date into?
Well, whatever gets it through the process, which most expediently.
Which one are we on?
Your research and development tax credit.
Our research activities, 315.
Yeah. If we're gonna, I would argue that we should be consistent. If we're going to put a date, fill in the blanks in one, we should do it in all. And if we support the tax credit, then we can have the vote, but we oughtn't to send a bill down there without a date in it, I don't think.
Might have already.
Huh?
Other tax bills, did they have dates or not?
All righty, is that the sense of the committee? Is that what you want? And is 6 years what you want? And let me check, is there support for the bill before we go to get an amendment?
I support
absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, it looks like there's one no vote on it, so that's a majority. So
I know,
we will
big kahunas, but
carry that one over, too. Richard, you'll get us an amendment on that one, fill it in for 6 years.
Yep.
And we will
that's the whole point. That's why
adjourn the work session on Senate Bill 315, carry that bill over. Let's see, how about Senate Bill 314? We'll open on Senate Bill 314. Do we have the same problem?
Yes, we do. Extends tax credits for contributions to the Oregon Production Investment Fund to a date not specified in the bill.
Sense of the committee?
I don't support the bill, so.
I do support the bill, Mr. Chair.
I suggest we get an amendment to fill in the date, and then we have a conversation about whether this makes sense or not.
How about if we have a conversation and see if this makes sense or not before we waste the staff's time?
I will vote for it.
Gentlemen, what's your inclination?
I will not vote for it today.
Yeah, I mean, I'll consider it, but I'm not completely convinced.
Okay, so,
I
detect there's some bargaining going on here. So
I certainly won't send it down.
Richard, let's get the date filled in.
Certainly won't send it down.
And we will
amendment.
Adjourn the work session on Senate Bill 314. And what else do we have here? Any sense on 317? Does anybody have any feelings about that?
I'm hoping it works.
Are we in work session on 317?
We'll open the work session on Senate Bill 317.
So again, we're in the same situation with a blank in the bill. It's a tax credit with minimal hit to the legislative, to the general fund. But it's important where it's important tax credit where they're utilized. So I support it.
Sense of the committee,
Mr. Chair, in Southern Oregon, I think the enterprise, both of my groups, economic development organizations, both state and local and chamber, supported the enterprise zone and this one, but in my experience the enterprise zone is the one that has had the most use in Southern Oregon.
And this one I'm not real excited about, but
I'm not real excited about it myself, so. But
on this side, is it, shall we go ahead and have the amendment prepared? All right, Richard, let's have it done. We'll just be consistent here. And we will close on Senate Bill 317. We're going to have a fun day.
$18 million.
Let's see. What have we got left here? We will open. Let's try Senate Bill 822.
Richard. Senate Bill 822 renews the energy tax credit for alternative energy vehicles and infrastructure projects relating to alternatively fueled vehicles through 2018.
Can I ask Richard a question?
Senator Girard.
Again, what's alternative fueled vehicles? Is that just electric or what is it?
I remember this question came up in the hearing and it was discussed, and I don't remember the answer.
I thought it included the whole thing.
Alternative fueled vehicles?
I think it was.
What was the definition of it?
It's in there.
I thought we talked about natural gas.
Mr. Chair, I don't think hybrids qualify anymore in this. I know it includes electric.
Well, it wasn't because we're talking about the construction and installation of fueling stations.
Oh.
Not the vehicles.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, it is.
Well,
there's people in the audience mouthing words like the electric company when I was a kid.
Huh?
Do you want somebody to come up and...
Do we have somebody who can explain this?
Yeah, I've forgotten all about this one. There's somebody here who can talk about
it. We do have somebody from Odo, but
yeah,
I'm not sure... Scooter.
Limited to charging stations and electric cars.
That's electric cars too, right?
Sure,
if you can help us understand this one.
Another
refreshing our memory
bill for my district.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Lisa Pinero for the Oregon Department of Energy. Your question is, what is defined as an alternative fuel vehicle?
Yes.
An alternative fuel vehicle, and I'm not going to take the time to look it up, but I'm going to try to do this off memory, but essentially it is propane, compressed natural gas, electric vehicles, electric hybrid vehicles, plug-in, anything that does not run on it's not a combustion-type engine that does not run on petroleum. I think that's a really good 30,000-foot level of...
Okay.
And again, this sunset does not apply to the vehicles, as I read it, applies to the station, the fueling stations.
No, I think it's both.
I don't read it that way.
Is it both?
It's relating to vehicles, not to fueling stations.
No, that's not what the slug line says.
Mr. Chair.
For use of...
Vehicle, car related equipment...
This is both.
Mr. Chair, I think...
I guess it is both.
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Ms. Pinero may have some illumination
Mr. Chair,
for us.
If I may, it does... This tax credit does cover alternative fuel vehicles and the related equipment. So it is onboard charging systems, charging systems that you would install in your home or at a particular location. And so it's the equipment, construction, and installation of fueling stations for those vehicles. So it's charging stations. They can either be on board the vehicle,
mm-hmm.
in addition to the vehicle, or it can be off the vehicle at a separate location, in your garage or parking garage.
Senator Atkinson.
Does my jumper cables on my old Suburban count?
Sure,
it definitely holds a charge.
Is your vehicle an alternative fuel vehicle?
It is. I drive a green Suburban.
I think the answer is no.
Well
put. Senator Drutt.
The question I would have is most of these vehicles don't pay highway tax, is it? Isn't that correct? Or how are we working that so that we collect highway tax off of these vehicles?
Mr. Chair, Senator Girard, I understand that is being covered in a separate bill that I believe is in your committee.
In-house revenue.
It's in revenue committee. There's a separate bill that deals with, thank you, that deals with road user fee charges for electric vehicles or alternative fuel vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair,
Senator,
is this a refundable tax credit? Meaning that they're able to sell the tax credit or take the tax credit, regardless of whether or not they're a profitable say, a company like Arcimoto in my district that is manufacturing electric vehicles.
Mr. Chair, Senator Edwards, I'm not sure if I understand. Are you asking whether or not this is a transferable tax credit, like a pass-through program?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, I'm not certain. I would have to ask somebody to clarify that for, to verify that for me. I can't recall whether this is or not.
Okay.
This is, we manage this program much through our existing residential energy tax credit program, so I would have to go back to that staff and ask. I just don't recall. I apologize.
Sure.
There is, to tease that out a little bit, there is a separate tax credit program, the Betsy, for manufacturers of alternative vehicles.
Committee,
so this is the $1,500 tax credit that people get when they purchase an alternative fueled vehicle.
Mr. Chair, Senator Starr, I believe that is in fact the rate. Again, I should probably clarify that.
Pretty sure that's
that
number. And there's a $2,500 federal tax credit for the same vehicles. So this is for the purposes of encouraging alternatives to gasoline. So do we want to encourage people to purchase those vehicles or not? And the fueling apparatus that's necessary to fuel those, whether it's electric or propane or hydrogen or
whatever else comes along.
The windmill that runs there, whatever.
Be an interesting car with the windmill on top of it. Yeah,
so there you go.
Flintstone.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm holding out the green Suburbans.
What is the committee's desires on this?
Yes.
Do I have a motion?
I support that. I'll move the Senate Bill 822, the Tax Credit Committee, with a due pass recommendation.
All righty.
This bill doesn't have a blank in it.
Senator Starr has moved Senate Bill 822 to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits with a due pass recommendation. Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
I'm going to oppose this because for a couple reasons, not because I hate electric cars. I like electric cars a great deal. There's already a very rich federal tax credit. Our experience with the tax credits used by hybrid owners were that most of the tax credits went to the highest income people in Oregon. And I feel like a $2,500 federal credit is plenty to encourage people to buy these.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Edwards.
My rebuttal would be that this tax credit is, I mean, regardless of income, it's attached to the product. So regardless of how much income the person has that's purchasing it, and in order for vehicles like this to make sense in the marketplace, they need to have some initial upfront support. And, you know, at $1,500 per vehicle, and I don't have the data about how many jobs one vehicle supports, but I do know that we have passed policy as recently as last year where we essentially attached a number of $2,500 per job created in another economic development program. And so, you know, when I look at the ability for state tax policy to support the creation of jobs, which we all know is really important, in an area that is of environmental benefit, it's hard to come up with those twofers a lot. And I think that this is a tax credit that does that, and that's why I think we should move it on its way.
Senator Girard.
Thank you, Chair Barr. I have concerns, but I'm not sure how I'm going to vote yet. But first of all, on the alternative fuels, I really think hydrogen should be part of the equation. And that wasn't mentioned, and I think that that was left out. And I do think that that's important to put in there. And also, I have a problem with the fact that we don't have a tying mechanism to the tax structure for the gas tax, the fact that they're not paying a gas tax. So, I mean, you're giving them a huge benefit out of the gate. They're not paying road tax as it is. Then you give them a $1,500 tax credit to boot. So I have some angst about it, but the testimony was that they're working on, in revenue, something to do with the highway problem. I'd like to see the bills connected. I'll probably vote for it, but I just have reservations.
Senator Starr?
Just to address Senator Girard's concerns, hydrogen is included. If you have a hydrogen fuel cell vehicle, under the definition, this is basically any non-petroleum-based fuel source. So hydrogen would be connected. Quite honestly, the technology, from my experience, isn't quite there on hydrogen fuel cells, though I believe that's the future rather than some of these other things. As it relates to the road user charge bill, that bill has passed the House Transportation Committee, is now in the House Revenue Committee. I'm hopeful that eventually we'll see it over here in the Senate, but we are working in that direction. You're correct. Everybody ought to pay their fair share of road use, whether they use gasoline or hydrogen or electricity to propel or move their vehicles down the road.
Okay. You done with the Green Suburbans?
Not totally.
Let's call the roll on this one, Carolyn.
Another 200,000 miles to go on that thing.
Senator Burdick?
No.
Senator Edwards?
Aye.
Senator Girard?
Yes.
Senator Starr?
Aye.
Vice Chair Atkinson?
Yes.
Aye. Okay. Gee, we actually pushed one out. I'm thinking that kind of covers it for the day.
How about the farm worker one?
We carried that over, didn't we, to fill it in?
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't? Yeah. Oh.
New market, 817.
So, Senate Bill, okay, well, we didn't do... Let's open the work session on Senate Bill 321, which is the... Richard.
Senate Bill 321 adjusts the sunset date for farm worker housing tax credit from January 2014 to a date not defined in the bill.
Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
My understanding is that this one expires in 2014. This was one that was moved up a little bit, so 6 years would push it out to 2020, I guess. So that would be the target.
And do we have that date in the bill?
Well, it's currently, this one is one that was moved up for us to consider.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the reason why. But so if we're going to extend the credit, the same six-year window, I think, would be appropriate to 2020 rather than 2018.
Is this got a... my question is, does this have a space in the bill? Do we need to send this one down and have it filled in as well?
Yes.
Okay, so we have the same issue with this one. If people are supportive, is this... Are you supportive of this bill generally? Just give me an indication.
Absolutely.
I'm seeing head nods. So, Richard, let's get this one, the date filled in, too. What date was that, Senator Starr?
2020.
2020?
3/18 is the question.
Anything else before we close on this?
We're good with this one.
We're good with this one?
How about 3/18?
All right. So, we will close on Senate Bill
318.
No, 321. Excuse me. 321. And... let's see, I think I've had a request to open on Senate Bill 817. Senator Burdick.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, this is the Oregon Low Income Community Jobs Initiative, and this the revenue impact from this tax credit would not be realized until businesses were already up and running and employing people in low-income areas. It's a narrow, I believe we set the ceiling at $3 million or $5 million. $3 million, I think. Yeah. So it's a pretty narrow, very targeted tax credit to get small businesses going in low-income areas, and it would not have any impact in the next biennium. It is a new tax credit, which is not a good thing to be in these times we're in, but I feel if we're really serious about building jobs, the this tax credit will not be available until the jobs are already on the ground. So that's why I'm supporting it.
Other comments?
Oh, yeah. Were
you making a motion?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I will move Senate Bill 817 to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits. And did you prefer a no recommendation?
You're making a motion.
Well, I would prefer a do pass recommendation.
Okay. Committee, we have a motion on the floor to move Senate Bill 817 to the Tax Committee, Tax Credit Committee, with a do pass recommendation. My discussion here. The one discussion that I would add on this is that I think this has some good basis, but I'm somewhat concerned in terms of the priorities of doing this. I think this is, as you look at this is the New Markets Tax Credit, and Oregon is already a very heavy user of this credit. In fact, I think it's number one or number two in the country in use of this tax credit, so it's not like we're not using it already. This would not be at the top of my list of doing that. It's just my personal feelings.
Mr. Chair, I had definite questions about this one. A little bit suspect for some of the same reasons, but while I've questioned the committee chair on the tax credit committee's judgment on some previous bills, I know that she is a real watchdog on the stewardship of tax credit expenditures, and so I'm kind of persuaded by what she says here today and would be willing to, for now, support sending it along its way with a due pass.
Senator Gerard?
Yeah, I would just like to put in that the way the bill's written, I will hold it to the way it's written because it's supposed to be for both rural and urban areas that would qualify for the credit. It's not to favor one over the other. And I think that that's an important part of it. And so I will be a little more than lukewarm for this one.
Is there opposition to the motion?
A little chilly.
Hmm?
Yeah, you know, I'm
a chilly.
You know,
on the particular bill.
The whole process is suspect as far as I'm concerned. So.
Oh, this is kind of.
You know, it's just.
The tax credit process?
Yeah, this whole process that we set up. I mean, so you send it down to a super committee, and, you know, I respect the fact that we have the chair of the super committee on our committee. If we're not going to support the R&D tax credit, why the heck should I support this tax credit?
Yeah, there you go.
You know, I'm just, that's really, you know, where I'm looking at this. It's a little frustrating. So, you know, generally speaking, I can understand the wherewithal about the particular tax credit, but
more discussion before we call the roll. Carolyn, please call the roll.
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Edwards?
Aye.
Senator Drodd?
Yeah.
Senator Starr?
No.
Vice Chair
Atkinson? No.
Chair Byron?
No. So, the motion fails. We will close on Senate Bill. Excuse me?
I just wanted to know, for the record, we did have testimony that was submitted that you guys all received on that bill.
Let's see. We'll close on Senate Bill 817, and now I think that's as much as we've had to work on today. So,
did we do these two?
So we will carry everything forward that we didn't work on today. And is there anything else for the committee today? I will note for the record that we are hearing a gentleman. We do have a public hearing from 6 to 8 tonight. Driver's license bill. Senator Gerard?
Are we not moving? There's the one with the water taxis. that had a big...
We are not moving today the one on the water taxi.
Okay. I mean, that's $5,000.
We are adjourned.